Well, some of you know we've set aside the month of February here at Emmanuel to be our missions month for this year. We began our missions month last week by hearing from a missionary to Pakistan. So we're glad, really excited this week. Throughout the years that our congregation has been in existence, God has built lots of relationships between our church and the nation of China. I've gotten to go to China and minister there several times, and we've had interns, two interns from China. And so we are glad to invite two of our friends here today. Our intern from this past summer, Sean Wong, will be presenting tonight, just giving us an update about what God's doing in China. But this morning we invited Samuel Dong from Shanghai to preach God's word to us. Samuel, I met Samuel first in his house in Shanghai a couple years ago. He and his wife live there. He's an elder in the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Shanghai, and they're very hospitable. They've been very hospitable to us. Both Samuel and Sean are studying at the seminary. Sean's from Nanjing. Samuel is from Shanghai, and they're both planning to return to pastor those congregations that they came from. So they're studying at our seminary in Pittsburgh, and so we're glad to give Samuel an opportunity to open God's word for us and glad to hear from him this morning. So thank you for coming, and I'll get out of your way.
Thank you, David. We are really appreciative for all your prayers to us. We really benefit for that, and praise Lord, gracious to us. We really enjoy that. So today, we will look into the passage of the book of Romans. So please open your Pew Bible to page 1140, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. To 18. Here is the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 18. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have never believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you choose us to be your people. Father, we are sinners, but by your loving kindness, we are saved. You are our God. You are the King over all nations. You are the King of America. You are also the King of China, India, Africa. So, Father, we ask your mercy to all the nations. We pray that you can heal us. Let us to know that you are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. Be with us and open our eyes and ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in America today, it is the elect season. So all the political candidates, they are putting their campaign together. And often they will craft their campaign. So not just merely vote for me for this or that policy. They often want to make their campaign about something bigger. There's a bumper sticker I saw stand for President presidential candidate. It says, join the revolution. Join the revolution. So not only vote for someone, join the revolution. Join the great movement. This is bigger than just electing a president. This is about changing your life. You are part of this great national movement. Maybe it is a global movement. People got caught up by this kind of things. People got really passionate about their candidates. And the candidate may or may not fulfill what they promise, right? But the movement itself draws people in. Well, I'm here today want to say to you, to invite you to join a greater movement, that the Christianity all over the whole world is a greater movement. And it is worthy you to be part, to get in part of it. It is the movement that God, all God, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. In our text today, I would like to call you to join this greater movement. So today I want you to notice that Jesus calls you to be a messenger of gospel, and your voice will go out to all the earth. So join the greater movement. And the children, if you are making a drawing, you may draw a man who is building his own house. He's quite alone to do that. You may also draw a huge castle on top of a mountain. And this man and his house will be part of this huge castle. He is not alone. You can draw with your great imagination. Imagine that this small house and this small man will be transformed into the castle. So we are not alone today as a congregation. We are part of the kingdom, of his kingdom. We will be transferred into the kingdom of God. As we look into the passage today, I want you to notice that first, God wants to save his people. God wants to save his people in verse 13. God don't want to destroy his people. God wants to save you from this sinful world. Verse 13 is a quotation from the book of Joel in chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone will be saved? Well, if we look further in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 29. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. So you are saved because the Lord poured out his spirit. His spirit called you to be saved. So here in the verse 13 of Romans, the word Lord represents God's current name, Yahweh or Jehovah. Therefore, to call upon the name of the Lord was not a desperate cry to just any deity, whoever, whatever he or she might be, but a cry to the one true God, the Creator, Lord of all men and all things. The Lord calls you to be his people. He is your king. By his mercy, you are saved. That's the reason why everyone who calls on the name shall be saved. If you look at the world today, you can see they are full of trouble and all kinds of problems in your life, in this world. But I tell you, God didn't forsake us. God didn't abandon us. In China, we all know that there is a severe virus these days. And God used used all his people all over the world to help us. When there was some natural disaster in China, the authority there was quite arrogant. What did he say is just like that. He said publicly that people will win God. People will win. But by this time, for these serious warriors, I didn't see any public media to say that again. They didn't dare to say that anymore. And instead, when they built up some hospitals in Wuhan city, they built two large isolated hospitals to separate the heavy patients, for the patients. They call it in a different name. They call it the God Vulcan and the God Thorn. So this time they change their mind, but they run to the wrong God. This God, they have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot see. This God cannot save them at all. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save you today. Only by his salvation, you and me, we are saved. So God wants to save his people. So when there is disaster, when there is some crisis in your life, do you run to Jesus for help, or do you run to some false gods? In this sinful world, we know there are all kinds of problems. When you are faced with sufferings and disappointment, when bad things happen to good people, and the wicked seem to flourish, when you failed an exam, or lose your job, or unjustly trapped in the system, then do you still trust God that he will save you? Yes, God will save you according to his own plan. Then you may ask, how could God's people know about his salvation? So second, I want to tell you that God sent you to share the gospel to your neighbors. God sends his messenger like you to share the gospel to your neighbors. In verse 14 and 15 in Romans chapter 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? That means God sent his people to preach gospel. And after preaching, people can hear. After hearing, they can believe. After believing, they can call upon him. So the very first thing that God will send his people to preach gospel. God will send you as his messenger to share gospel to your neighbors. Today in America, all the people run to you. So your neighbor, they maybe come from another side of the world. If you look at the camp of the university here, the University of Purdue, how many international students are there? Thousands. Also in IU. So they all run to you. So you can, lots of them really need to hear gospel. In their own culture, they might never heard about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Even they hear some about him, they might not know who he really is. So I want to encourage you to share gospel to your neighbors. To your neighbors. Today the world is relatively small. You know, do you have the passion to share gospel to your neighbors? I know a brother in America. He didn't know much about his neighbor for more than 15 years. Until one day that his neighbor's mirror was broken. So his neighbor came over to his house to borrow one for a moment. Then they started to talk with each other. And he even invited him to come over to his church. I know here for America, the privacy is so important to you, but you should let people know you are Christian, right? You should let your neighbor know you are a Christian. Do you feel shame to share gospel? Well, you know, sometimes I felt shame to pray in a restaurant. I'm concerned about how people will think about me. And when I worked in my company during the lunch break, I prayed before my meal. You know, my right hand, I take a chopstick, and I pray like that. It looks like I'm not quite well. So one of my colleagues just asked me, "Samuel, does your stomach hurt?" I say, no. "Well, you don't look very well." I answer, "Well, no, I'm a Christian. I just pray to my God." Then he asked again, "Does your God hurt? Does your God sick?" No, my God didn't sick. Is your God died? No, he never died. He's raised up again. So I need to talk with him about my belief, what I believe. But you know, another day, I saw there's a Buddhist who eat in another restaurant. And this Buddhist, he also pray before his meal. You know, his prayer style is much aggressive than me. He prayed like that. And after he finished his praying, like this. So it looks like his God just sit before his seat. It looks like his God is a living God. Actually, it's not. So Christians, your God is the only one, only true living God. There's no other God. But why sometimes, you know, all God looks like it didn't appear. I mean, he's not present. No, he is there. He is there. He's a true God. He's a living God. So don't feel ashamed to pray to him and to ask for mercy from him. So share gospel to your neighbors that need courage, that need your time, also need your patience. But that is worthy, isn't it? You are the messenger of the gospel. God used you to be his ambassador to share gospel first to your family members, to your neighbors, and then to all over the world, because all the people today really run to you. And thirdly, I want to say that how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news in verse 15. In verse 15. This is a quotation from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. It is not the physical feet of God's preachers that are beautiful, but the wondrous glad tidings of good things that those feet carry to the ends of the world. That verse from Isaiah was written in celebration of Israel's deliverance from the years of captivity and bondage, first Assyria and then in Babylon. Likewise, on the Lord's Day today, you rejoice before God because Jesus delivered you from your captivity of your own sin. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Beautiful doesn't mean it is easy. Sharing gospel, you need to walk to them. You need to talk to them. You need to live with them. When Jesus lived on this earth, he lived with his disciples. He talked with them, he walked with them, he lived with them. Apostle Paul also lived with the Gentile cities for a long time. He preached there, he lived there. He knew them person to person. An American missionary says like that, "In the U.S., I meet more people when I walk. The American love for the automobile has meant each driver riding alone in a world of their own. When I want to talk to my neighbors about important matters, I don't just call them on the phone. I walk to their homes. If I plan to form a neighborhood Bible study, I walk around and invite my neighbors, some near, some farther away. The less I use technology like cars and telephones, the more God's message becomes incarnate in the feet, hands, eyes, and ears of the messenger. A beautiful voice behind a pulpit, but on television or on a telephone cannot replace beautiful feet on a dirt path. On a city sidewalk, in a front yard, or in a living room, Western missionaries need to remember that most people in the world still walk today. Well, but if you walk in the winter of Indiana, it looks like you will walk forever. Honestly, yesterday, from Pittsburgh to Lafayette, I didn't walk. I drove for 100 miles. Well, but when I stay at my home, I stay a whole day with my wife. But guess what? My wife always says sometimes says like that, "You are not at home at all." Why she said like that? Because I do not, you know, talk much with her. I do not listen to her. And I do not interact with her at all. So even though physically I'm at home, actually I'm not at home at all. That's a different issue. So spreading gospel, share gospel, you need this quality times with them. Be with them. Walk with them. Talk with them. Live with them. Likewise, in the church today, not only just show up for the Sunday, you know, join some ministry with people here. And we join the worship not only individually, we worship our Lord also cooperatively. So join this greater movement. You know, God put every congregation, every churches on this land, on this earth, as an ambassador of his gospel. So the church as a whole will share gospel to the world. So, because we are talking about missions, I want to ask you this question. Where is the biggest mission field today? Well, some people will say maybe it's in China, maybe in India, maybe in some country in Africa. However, please notice that the biggest mission field today is your heart. The biggest mission field today is your heart. So God desires your whole heart worship, your whole people to be Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him. Yesterday we spent some time in Blackwood's house with singing the Psalms. I really see that. They really enjoy singing Psalms together with their families, with the kids. Even the small kids, they have a favorite songs. So your whole life, maybe only from some small details, you can see that your whole life really rejoicing before the Lord. So God desires your whole heart worship. Then when you talk with people, when you meet with people, when you share the gospel with people, they will know that you rejoice. They will know your joy in God's kingdom. So the biggest mission field is your heart. Number four, I want to talk about gospel will be challenged by the world, but don't give up. The gospel will be challenged by the world. In verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Even in God's omnipotent sovereignty, God chooses not to exercise absolute control over human affairs. Gospel must be received in faith by those who hear it. Those who are obedient to faith are believers who have been called of Jesus Christ. When the gospel was proclaimed, it was also challenged by the world. In the scripture, you can see that many Jews rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And the Pharisees, they denied Jesus' teaching and Jesus' authority. Today, the culture also challenged gospel. In Bloomington RPC, when I took my summer internship, there's a VBS, Vacation Bible School. A couple in this church, they shared this good news to their neighbors in their community. Well, the response are really different. Some family said thank you. Some family said, no, I don't need that. And there's even one family reported this to the leader of the community. And days later, the leader of this community said, oh, that's okay, because it's just a ministry of this church. So you can see some people, they will reject gospel. In my culture, it's also even more quite often, Christian life is a big challenge. During the traditional Chinese New Year, the spring festival, young people will kneel to their parents. They will kneel down to their grandparents, their parents, and even worse, they also kneel down to their dead ancestor. They need to worship their dead ancestor. That's a challenge. If you don't do that, you don't show respect to your family. And also the culture there challenged the gospel. The culture there, maybe in most of Asia, is called to be a shame-based culture. Well, what is shame-based culture? That means there in this culture, there's no Savior. There's no Christ. But we have a very high standard, a moral standard there. Everybody knows that we cannot reach that high standard. We cannot be such perfect person. Then this high moral standard will put up under shame. And the parents always put their children into shame to push them to study hard. For instance, when I was a boy, my father always said that, look at some other children. Why can't you study as hard as them? So no matter how hard you take effort, you cannot reach this standard. It is just like the moral law. No matter how hard you take effort, you cannot redeem yourself. You are never good enough to redeem yourself. No, we really need the gospel to be preaching there. We really need to know that the good work is not from us, it's from Christ, the only Savior. Then we can rejoice in Christ. So the shame-based culture needs to be renewed by the gospel. That's why for Chinese, it's much easier to receive gospel, I think. We long for this Savior for thousands of years. So the shame-based culture also tells us our faith is very important. We cannot lose our faith. For instance, there's a Japanese author wrote a book entitled Ugly Japanese. And the book was well received in Japan. Also, an American author wrote a book entitled Ugly Americans. And also the book was well received in the U.S. A Chinese author wrote a book entitled Ugly Chinese. Then guess what? The book was banned in China. Why? This book let us lose our faith. Our culture cannot receive that. We cannot lose our faith. That's just like the function of the law. The law let us know that we are sinners. We are ugly. We are under shame. But the gospel shows us that Jesus is our salvation. We have hope in Jesus. Not that by this moral law, not by our good work we are saved, but by the good work of our Savior, of our King, Jesus Christ, we are saved. Well, each culture has its own pros or cons. Sooner or later, I will go back to China, so I shouldn't only tell the bad things about my culture. Otherwise, I will have trouble. But, well, there's also some advantage of my culture, that's for sure. For instance, in China, our prayer meeting is normally 1 or 2 hours long. And when we pray, most of the time, we will kneel on the ground and we pray. And I know there's an evangelical church in Shanghai. Their first morning service will be finished at 7 in the morning. Not start at 7, finished at 7. Well, also, well, the challenge is after they finished the worship, they really finished their worship. So that also be their challenge. So we also have some mission stations at northwest of China. You know, in some province in the northwest of China, it's kind of dangerous for any religions, Christians or Muslims, all dangerous. Well, they can only worship in the night. But they keep worshiping their Lord in this way. So there's challenges in my culture to Christianity. The world today will challenge your faith every day, no matter where you are, no matter which culture you are from. Because the goal of this world, people, is much different than the sense. Like Dr. Joe B. Key said, the goal of the worldly people is to move forward rather than upward, to live horizontally rather than vertically. They seek after outward prosperity rather than holiness. They burst with selfish desires rather than heartfelt supplications. If they do not deny God, they ignore and forget Him, or else they use Him only for their selfish ends. Worldliness, then, is human nature without God. So that's the worldly people. They just seek all the things in this world. They want more and more in this world. But for us today, we seek for the holiness. We seek our God. We know our home on this land is a temporary home. Our eternal home is in the heaven. So follow Jesus to live vertically rather than horizontally in this life. Number 5, follow Jesus to join the greater movement, and your voice will go out to all the earth. In verse 18, their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. This is a quotation from Psalm 19, verse 4. And in Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So people over all nations can know there is God. They have no excuse. But just to know there is God generally doesn't mean that you are saved. You need to hear this gospel. You need to know this true God from preaching. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. So, Christianity movement is the biggest movement in the world. It is driven by the Holy Spirit. It is the commandment from our King, Jesus Christ. You can join the greater movement through your prayers. Maybe you can't go to the mission field by yourself, but you can pray for the mission. You can join the greater movement through supporting missionaries, supporting your pastors, your elders. You can join the greater movement through evangelizing to your neighbors, to sharing gospel to your neighbors. Even if you are little children, you can also join this gospel movement. I hope one day in the future, we can get more connected with the children in your congregation, in my congregation, in Sean's congregation. You can know each other much more, and you can pray for each other when you are little. And today, you have so many ways to get connected with each other. China is still a mission field there. The presbytery is young. We don't have much experience. I hope one day later, we can also have VBS in China, maybe an international VBS. I hope more churches can be built there. I hope we can train missionaries and send them all over the world to share gospel. And I hope one day in China, we can have monthly joint worship service. It's really wonderful to see that. And we really appreciate your prayers and your support to China, to us for many years, especially your prayers to the RP churches in China. So I tell you a little more today about the culture, the churches there. I wish you can pray specifically for that. And the spirit of the church people also need to be refreshed by the gospel. We lived in our culture for years, for generations and generations. And the gospel will renew the culture there. Christianity is the biggest movement on this planet. Jesus is the greater savior. He is greater than any political leaders on this earth. And Jesus Christ, he can fulfill every of his promise. So, and you are not alone to follow Jesus. We all build God's kingdom together. So I want you to notice that Jesus calls you to be a messenger of the gospel. And your voice will go out to all the earth. So please join together to the greater movement. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks that we can listen to your word. We can read your word freely and boldly. Father, today the culture challenges your gospel everywhere. But we know that you are the true living God. You are the only Savior, the only Redeemer to all the nations. So, Father, we ask for your mercy to all of us. Please refresh us. Please redeem us and help us to share the gospel with patience, with courage, with boldness. Father, we are your servants. Our first identity on this land is a Christian. Let us be faithful to our true identity. Father, let us to rejoice before you. Let us to praise you in all different circumstances. Father, you are the King. May your will be done on this planet. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let us respond and sing Psalm 67C. We know that Jesus Christ is the Savior to all the nations. Please stand and sing Psalm 67C.